welcome to the family here on Purple Mafia. I am your host, Paladino Joey, or Joey Awajin. Purple Mafia is available on all of your favorite podcasting apps. I thank each and every one of you once and always for downloading and listening to the show. It is a great pleasure to be back at birth with you once again today, as here I am recording on a Monday night. I'm kind of doing the Peyton and Eli thing, and Peyton and Eli with Ray Lewis still flashing on the screen with the Buccaneers ahead 25-9. So pretty good chance the Tampa Bay Buccaneers advancing to play in Detroit, Michigan, because the Detroit Lions, of course, won their game. So, yeah, it's like I'm kind of here with the game still going, and, you know, it's a pretty good chance we know the Tampa is going to win this one. Philadelphia's chemistry just very disappointing. No doubt about it. Ray Lewis commenting about that with Eli and such, with Peyton actually especially, that their chemistry is just off. Philadelphia, it's just a damn shame. I thought the Eagles had a really strong chance to win this game, and I don't know. Doesn't look like it's going to happen. So basically, it's wild card review, division round preview. I was wrong about a couple here. I keep thinking it's like the Cowboys' history against Green Bay. I mean, Green Bay has dominated the Dallas Cowboys going all the way back to when the Cowboys beat the Green Bay Packers in the NFC Championship game in 1995, when the last time the Cowboys got that far. They beat the Green Bay Packers, went to the Super Bowl, and beat the Pittsburgh Steelers in a pretty narrow margin. That was probably the best Super Bowl game in forever, honestly. At least dating back to the Giants and Bills game when Northcutt missed his kick and cost the Bills a chance to be world champions. I mean, the Bills were the better team. The Bills should have won that game, bottom line. But Northcutt missed the kick. It's that simple. The Bills' offense did underachieve in that game, and the Giants' defense did a great job. So there is that as well. And Jeff Hostetler was clutch enough. So, yes, we're always going to have some history conversation here. It was an interesting weekend. It was an interesting wild card weekend. Unfortunately, not the best quality football. Usually divisional round is better. And, you know, that's just a damn fact. That's just how that goes. Division round is very much often better. Nice to have the bracket in front of me, which I didn't get to have really last week as I was finishing things up. The winner of this game goes to Detroit. That's probably the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the team that beat the Minnesota Vikings in the season opener. I remember just talking about that extensively last week. Can't believe it how Tampa Bay ended up winning their division and having this nice run, winning 5 out of their last 6. Can't believe Philadelphia losing 5 out of their last 6, and now it's 6 out of their last 7 in both cases. The trends continue when it comes to Tampa and Philly. Tampa Bay Buccaneers going to the divisional round. Like, I don't think a lot of people saw that happening. Like the Tom Brady hangover, so to speak. They won the Super Bowl in 2020, kicked the Chiefs' butt, and that was awesome. Didn't help that the Chiefs had a backup left tackle in the game because of the injury to the main guy. And, of course, I felt so bad for the poor guy that was a former Viking player who was supposed to be our right tackle, and he was moved to right guard, and that messed up his career, honestly. Completely messed up his career, and then he ended up being the left tackle for the Chiefs and was made look like a fool in that game. I felt bad for him. That had to suck to be in that kind of situation. So where do we go from here? Houston and Cleveland, I mean, that was the opener for the postseason. Had high hopes for the Cleveland Browns, but obviously just, I don't know, just not their day. We'll open up with that one here. That's a Saturday afternoon special, so to speak. It was the first game of the whole postseason. Whew, Cleveland. And, of course, the Buffalo Bills game was postponed until today. It was supposed to be yesterday, but, you know, the cold and snow and lake, well, mostly the lake effect snow, which is the problem in places like Buffalo, New York, because they're right on top of the Great Lakes. They don't just get snow. They get super snow. The areas that are close to the Great Lakes get absolutely hammered with that lake effect snow. It is quite a remarkable scientific event that takes place oftentimes every winter, depending on where you're at and luck of the draw or bad luck of the draw, so to speak. Houston Texans, just like the Buccaneers, winning the division suddenly like that, you know, just emerging, getting better and better, and just kind of hanging in there all season and finishing 10-7, getting into the postseason. And Cleveland, a team who, you know, really overachieved of late with all the injuries. Deshaun Jackson, you know, it should have been Deshaun Watson, not Jackson, going against his former team. It could have turned out that way, but of course he was injured and out for the season a long, long time ago. You would have thought the Cleveland Browns were dead and gone, but they just kind of hung on forever. And the next thing you know, Joe Flacco's the quarterback coming in off the streets. He has some remarkable games, but unfortunately did turn the ball over a bit, like he often did with Baltimore later in his career and with the New York Jets and Denver, when he was pretty much looked on as pure garbage at that stage. Like a guy that's probably like, okay, just retire. You can't play anymore. At best, you're like a third stringer. And who wants to be a third stringer coming off of Super Bowl championship in the past and NFC or AFC championship games and such? Yeah, Joe Flacco's whole career was played in the AFC, interestingly. I was hoping the Vikings could have picked him up because, I mean, look what we dealt with. Though Nick Mullins ended up being the best of the backups other than his terrible turnovers, particularly in Detroit, which helped steal the deal for the Detroit Lions and all that. And thankfully for their sake, they're still living. Flacco might have been an interesting pickup for the Vikings, but that just never happened. Sad truth is things probably would have ended the way they did for Cleveland should the Vikings have made the postseason with the wild card, maybe in Dallas or something. That could have been what would have happened. The Vikings don't match up well with the Dallas Cowboys, particularly the last couple of years. It would have been ugly, I think. But Green Bay is what they are. The Green Bay Packers are cowboy killers, and we'll talk about that coming up shortly here. But the Cleveland Browns, Joe Flacco throwing multiple pick sixes, kind of helped set the tone for the Houston Texans to kick some major butt. And Houston, it seems like yesterday that Deshaun Watson was the starting quarterback, an up-and-comer who looked so good. You know, obviously very promising young blue-chip quarterback coming out of the draft just a couple years in. In this case, Stroud was a rookie, and he set rookie records for playoff games, for his first playoff game this year, which is really amazing. But at the time, Watson, I mean, it was outstanding what he was able to accomplish. I believe they beat the Tennessee Titans. It was an Oiler Bowl type of deal. It was a pretty convincing win for Houston in a similar fashion where they had home field but had an inferior record, so to speak. And but the Texans would win pretty significantly or pretty convincingly in that one. Now, here we are just a few years later, about 3 years later, C.J. Stroud is the rookie quarterback. Well, you know, Watson was in his second year coming off an ACL. I mean, and Watson's hurt again, out for the year, of course, after being suspended for all that domestic stuff going on behind the scenes before that, with his exit of Houston in that case. Could have been an interesting storyline, but wasn't meant to be, where Stroud was the storyline in a lot of ways, other than Flacco throwing multiple pick sixes. Stroud, again, rookie record for a half, rookie record for a lot of things. Very strong Christian, loves the country and all that, so really appreciate what C.J. Stroud brings for the Houston Texans. They end up winning easily, 45 to 14. I wanted Cleveland to win for so many reasons, but then it's like you're just impressed with what C.J. Stroud was able to accomplish. Three touchdowns, near perfect quarterback rating on only 21 attempts, 274 yards, three touchdowns, and Flacco again, two pick sixes. Kareem Hunt was able to run in a touchdown, and Flacco was able to throw a touchdown pass, but it was both to Kareem Hunt. So if there's such thing as fantasy playoff football, Kareem Hunt had multiple touchdowns, good for him, but only a couple of yards to go with it. And the Houston Texans defense combined with their great offense and rookie coach DeMarco Ryans and rookie quarterback C.J. Stroud, things look insanely promising. I mean, the future looks insanely bright in Houston. Houston Texans, anything could happen. I mean, the sky's the limit in the next couple of years here. Tampa Bay crushing now. Officially, the blowout is on. It is now 31-9. Another touchdown for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Philadelphia Eagles completely disoriented, and now the fans are wearing the Charlie Brown bags over their heads, the paper bag, you know, the lunch bag over their head type of deal, like Charlie Brown originally. That's where all that started. Good grief, basically, is what that means, or some other words. But another situation where a team with an inferior record hosting a team with a good record that failed to win their division and kind of fell apart later in the season is getting crushed on the road in the wild card round. Defending NFC champions, and man, they missed winning a championship by such a narrow margin. Now it feels like light years away. Gosh. I don't know. It's sad. It's very sad. But good thing I came on the air here. Last thing I want to do is record tomorrow morning and feel all kind of, I got to get this done and I got to go to work. Nah, let's do it tonight when I, you know, my wife's not here. It's easier to record without anybody around. It's awesome. Again, happy MLK to happy MLK to everybody out there. MLK Day, obviously. So, Houston winning convincingly in this game. And their future does look bright. I mean, considering who they have to play next week, let's see if they can pull off an insane upset. Last time the Baltimore Ravens had the number one record in football going into the playoffs, they didn't win a single game. So in the postseason, it was pretty bad. Baker Mayfield's enjoying the most success he pretty much ever has in the postseason, other than I believe they beat the Steelers a few years ago. That was quite impressive, but then got crushed by the Chiefs in the division round. I hated that. God, I hated that so much. And that was when I just started to dislike the Chiefs. Thankfully, the 49ers took care of those sons of biscuits. Or was it the Bucks a few years later? I can't remember if that's when it was. Or like a single year later. Somebody took care of the Chiefs. I forget who it was. Or if the Chiefs went on to beat the 49ers in the Super Bowl, which was a bummer, no doubt. Jason Kelce, a lot quieter guy, isn't he? A lot quieter guy. He's not making an ass of himself on a daily basis. But, of course, the one that gets all the attention is the one that makes an ass of himself. God, I hate that. It's sad what it is. It's very sad. But, again, Houston advancing to play Baltimore. So we'll get to that later in a minute. An easy win for the Houston Texans. Kansas City, Miami. Should I jump into that one next? Kansas City and Miami. Kansas City, Miami. What the heck was this? It was bad. It was awful. Saturday was two AFC games. You'd think you'd have an AFC and NFC, but it was both AFC games. The Dolphins, again, that's the other one. Another one where they had the division won, and then they didn't win the division. They wind up having to go on the road, and it's not a good matchup for, it's just not a good situation. Miami Dolphins are what they are. They're warm weather team, and a lot of times these warm weather teams, there's a reason why they don't go to the Super Bowl and win it, because it is what it is, you know. It is what it is. They don't have success. They just don't have success when you go on the road in these cold weather situations. And you don't really think about cold weather with Kansas City, but when you look at the temperature/windshield weather map across the United States, it's literally like a tsunami of cold that came crashing down from it's literally shaped like a wave. Obviously, the coasts are slightly warmer, but down the middle, like Kansas City, Minnesota, down to Kansas City, and even into Austin, Texas, 15 degrees, Austin, Texas. So Kansas City, crazy situation, like freezing temperatures, below zero wind chill. Miami Dolphins just kind of were like, okay, let's just get out of here. Hell with this crap. It's kind of like me striking out on purpose because of the frozen weather many years ago one time. Because it was too cold. And I'm mad at myself for doing that to this day. That's why I'm admitting myself doing it. I did it once. I'm never doing that again. But I was freezing and the wind was blowing like crazy. It felt like a massive disadvantage as a batter versus a pitcher in that situation anyway. Yeah, that was weak. I'm mad at myself for that. But that's pretty much what the Dolphins did. They struck out on purpose in a lot of ways. It's like, whatever, we're toast. And I don't know. I say don't bow down to Kansas City. I say beat the crap out of them. Don't injure people, though, like Detroit kind of has done the past couple of weeks here with TJ Hawkinson being, you know, out for the season with the ACL and MCL. And then now we'll get back to the guy on LA in a minute. That was really kind of frightening and scary. Hopefully he's okay. But I don't know. He probably isn't. Kansas City, though, pretty much had a field day. 26-7. It's not like the highest scoring game ever. But you never really felt that the frickin' Dolphins were in the game. You just never felt it. 7-10. That's good. I mean, that's still a chance. Early in the second quarter, the Dolphins, with Tyreek Hill, again, old Peacetime himself. He used to piss me off when he was on the Chiefs. But at least you got to see Tyreek Hill score a touchdown against his former club in the playoffs. Unfortunately, that was it. I mean, that was it. It was just all Kansas City after that. Mostly field goals. That's why the score wasn't all so high. But Tua just couldn't get anything going after that and didn't look like he really cared. I don't know. I don't really mean that. I'm sure he did. But it's like, you know, it just wasn't an impressive thing. It wasn't an impressive performance. Apologize. Pardon me. Looked like he was really struggling out there. And that's just all there is to say about it. So, yeah, Kansas City, frickin' Kansas City, the Yuck City Chefs emerge over the Minnows. It was the Chefs and the Minnows, unfortunately. And I liked the Dolphins. I wanted them to win, and of course they didn't. And I stupidly picked them to win. Didn't think it was going to be this cold out, but it's not a good situation going into Kansas City. I feel a lot more confident with Buffalo hosting Kansas City next week about taking care of business, so to speak, versus Miami going into Kansas City, even though I feel Miami's a good football team. And they were good all season. They should have had a better record, honestly. But they kind of blew it down the stretch. And then Buffalo, you know, took care of business, so to speak. And it was in Buffalo. Or, excuse me, in Miami. That's what's annoying with the Dolphins. Take care of business at home, damn it. And you might have had home field advantage. But, I don't know, they probably would have found a way to not get to the conference final anyway. Pardon me. Unfortunately, a Bills fan was shot and killed, though, in Miami, interestingly. So that's really terrible. That was something that was in the news the next day. Also, I'm going to probably bring this up. Well, I might as well bring this up now as since it was definitely a week of historic coaches going away, basically. Yeah, you saw Nick Saban supposedly retire. We'll see if he comes back at something somewhere. We'll see if he comes back somewhere at some point. But Nick Saban retiring from Alabama. They got to the, you know, the BCS playoff, whatever, like they do every year, basically every bleeping year. Lost to Michigan, who ultimately won the national championship. We'll see if Jim Harbaugh ends up becoming a head coach in the NFL. Apparently he has interviewed with the Los Angeles Chargers so far. And not too surprising that that's one of the teams, and that's the first one to do so. Bill Belichick and the Patriots part ways. Crazy. But actually before that, Pete Carroll and the Seattle Seahawks part ways. That's another big one. Huge one. But both Bill Belichick and Pete Carroll getting into their early 70s. Are they done? Probably not. Especially Belichick, who apparently interviewed with the Atlanta Falcons today. So they're the first team to interview Bill Belichick, of all people, for the vacancy. So with the absolute mess going on with Atlanta last week, that was kind of weird. The Saints kind of running up the score along the way, kicking their butts. And then the coach getting pissed off because the players intentionally just kind of, you know, instead of doing victory formation, ran into the end zone. And you got to see that take place and the Atlanta coach being pissed. But Dennis Allen saying, hey, you know, they just disobeyed me and did whatever they wanted. So I apologize and you have a right to be pissed off. So I like Dennis Allen. The Atlanta coach obviously kind of crazy and pissed off, but I don't know. Unfortunately, he was blown out and lost his job right away, right after that. A lot of people kind of figured that would happen. And, well, we'll see if Bill Belichick is the Atlanta coach. Maybe Kirk Cousins winds up in Atlanta. That's a conversation that's going to be taking place here in the not-too-distant future. Obviously, no immediate news other than Kirk Cousins saying, God's blessed me with, God's blessed me financially. And it's about the, I don't know, it's not about the dollar amount. It's more about of his role, so to speak, how things are put together, like the terminology and the commitment to him and all that. So we'll see if Kirk Cousins winds up being the Vikings quarterback for the next year or two. But mock drafts looking more and more like the Minnesota Vikings will wind up with one of the blue chip quarterbacks at pick 11. So we'll get back to that in a minute. I probably could have opened the freaking show with that, and I probably should have, but yeah, we'll get to it here in a second. It's mostly playoffs right now, rather than looking at the NFL draft. But the Chiefs win comfortably over a Miami team that just, you know, I don't know, feel like a fish out of water, basically. That's pretty much what they were. I mean, isn't that about it, though? A fish out of water? No pun intended. That's pretty much what it was. Detroit, Green Bay, wow. What did I just say? Detroit and Green Bay? Well, yeah, they both advanced for the first time I've ever seen happen. This is the first time I've ever seen, as a football fan, Detroit and Green Bay advance in the same season. First time ever. Many times back in the day when Detroit made the playoffs, or a few times, 93 and 94, when Detroit made the playoffs, when I became a full-time fan in 92, Green Bay and Detroit would ended up kicking off in the wild card round, and Green Bay won both of those. So there's that. They would end up having to play each other, and Green Bay won both of them. Brett Favre, a very young Brett Favre, leading the Packers over Rodney Peete and eventually Scott Mitchell and such with Detroit later on. Because in 91, Green Bay didn't make the playoffs. So, yeah, Green Bay was kind of in transition there the year before Brett Favre came. He was a rookie with Atlanta at the time. So, Dallas Cowboys hosting the Green Bay Packers, seventh seed. They make the playoffs by the skin of their teeth with a nice hot run at the end of the year. But that kind of stuff matters. Dallas was relatively hot. They beat Detroit by the skin of their teeth to win the division. And Philadelphia collapsed, and man, they collapsed all right, getting crushed in Tampa. Fans already exiting the building, want to move on with their night, I guess, and all that. Want to avoid the crowd, which sounds like something I'd like to do. Absolutely, I cannot stand crowds, and I don't like to be stuck somewhere. I just don't, like stuck in a ramp or whatever. You just get claustrophobic, I bet, when you can't get out. You can't move. It's ridiculous. So let's get the hell out of here and beat the crowd. Anyhow, Dallas Cowboys were romped all over the place by the Green Bay Packers. I don't like either team. It's nice to see either one of these teams lose. So it's not like, oh, bleep the Packers. I hate the Packers so much. Yeah, I hate the Packers, but I hate the Cowboys too. I've hated the Cowboys since I first saw them play. It was like, God, I hate this team. I mean, back when I was barely even a football fan, I already hated the Cowboys. That's how quick it was. I actually kind of liked the Packers back then a little bit at the beginning because I was kind of, I didn't really get the border battle all that much. I thought it was kind of fun. Like, we're in the same division, and they're our neighbor, next-door neighbor. And then it's like, by 94, it's like, okay, yeah, these Packer fans are annoying as hell. I hate the Packers now. And then as they got better and better, the cockiness went off the charts. Yeah, that kind of thing. So then, yeah, the Packer hatred began and stuck around forever. But certain teams just kind of have the other team's number, particularly in the postseason. The Packers had the 49ers number back then, like the early, the early days. Like they beat San Francisco in 95, which was a huge shocker on the road when the 49ers were the defending Super Bowl champs. Green Bay beat San Francisco on the road. It was an insanely impressive win. As Packers were really emerging in 95, and clearly there was something going on. And then they got beat by Dallas, kind of like it just wasn't their day. NFC title game. I still remember seeing Reggie White. He was furious. The camera went on him, and he wanted to run and beat up the cameraman. It's like, get out of here, because he was sitting there kind of like, sad, heartbroken. They lost, and he's pissed off. Because I get that camera out of here, basically. I would be the same way. I'd hate that. I don't want a camera on me when I'm sitting there kind of almost crying. That's embarrassing, and it's angry. It makes you angry. But that's pretty much the last time the Packers were defeated by the Dallas Cowboys in the postseason. I mean, that's pretty much been it. It's been Green Bay, Green Bay, Green Bay, Green Bay, Green Bay, Green Bay. Pretty much has been. And then you had a similar situation with the Packers beating up on the 49ers in the playoffs, knocking them out in 95. And then the Packers beating them again in 97. And then in, I believe it was 98, when the 49ers finally overcame the Packers, if I remember correctly. Finally did it, finally took care of business. Overcame the Packers, but then the Falcons beat the Niners, so on and so forth, if I remember correctly. And then ever since, the 49ers have dominated the Packers. And again, pretty much ever since, the Packers have dominated the Cowboys. The Cowboys made this score a lot prettier in that fourth quarter with a two-touchdown, two-point conversion type of deal. 16 points to make it a lot prettier, as the Packers were absolutely romping on the Cowboys. 20-point second quarter. You knew the Cowboys were pretty much dead meat. 27-7. McCarthy hasn't been fired yet that I know of. Again, a 14-point third quarter, but the Cowboys kind of hung in for a little while. But generally speaking, Jordan Love has really grown up. Perfect quarterback rating, three touchdowns. I mean, what a nice debut to a playoff for him. What a nice debut. And then Aaron Jones, I guess, owns the Cowboys. Absolutely owns them. Almost 6 yards a carry, 118 yards and only 21 rushes. Three touchdowns. Dak Prescott, again, kind of stat padding. Not saying that all he cares about is stats. It's just that his stats improved with garbage time touchdowns to help kind of sort of make the score a little prettier. CeeDee Lamb, golden opportunities in this game. Dropped passes, extremely frustrating for him, I'm sure. Oh, I'm sure. Fans, of course, very frustrated with him. Disappointing, just an overall disappointing effort by the Cowboys hosting the Green Bay Packers, who pretty much owned them from start to finish. Like, Jerry Jones doesn't own the Cowboys. The Packers do. Green Bay Packers own the Cowboys, or at least so it appears. Jordan Love has gone from a guy that looked in over his head to a guy that looks like he's going to go to a lot of Pro Bowls. A lot of Pro Bowls. He just might end up becoming another great Packer quarterback. So strap on your seatbelts, fans, Viking fans. Here we go again. I remember how the Packers snuck into the playoffs in 2010. Little did we know they'd wind up with one of the easiest matchups in NFL history in the NFC title game. Even though they were on the road, the Chicago Bears were not a worthy opponent with Jay Cutler standing on the sidelines for half of the game with, you know, injuries and such. Jay Cutler wasn't even good anyway, but he had talent, but he wasn't good, if you know what I mean. There's a difference between being talented and being good. There is a difference. Yes, there is. You could say that about every musician that ever, you know, for the last 30 years or so. Okay, 20-some years. Yeah, they might have talent, but they're not good. They might have talent. I don't even know if they really have talent. I truly doubt that. Jordan Love, though, obviously there's something there, obviously. And he kicked our butts, and he kicked the Cowboys' butts. I'd sure like to see Kirk Cousins kick the Cowboy butts, too. But unfortunately, that just didn't happen the past several times the Vikings played the Cowboys. The Cowboys own us. The Cowboys are like the New York Yankees to the Twins. That's what the Cowboys are for the Vikings. So that's the sad part. If this was us in Dallas, we probably would have gotten killed. It probably would have been a similar score, but on the Dallas side of things, which is really annoying. Just think about how annoying and frustrating that is. And how Green Bay romped all over them. And how, again, like I keep repeating myself, it would have been the opposite. Think about it. It probably would have, because history repeats itself in this sport. If you didn't notice, history repeats itself. Do you remember what happened in these games against the Dallas Cowboys? It was just, you know, like Micah Parsons just ran all over us, cut us apart, strip sack, you know, made us look like dimwits. Cowboys had zero sacks against Jordan Love, zero. Packers had a couple on Dak. And Dak, you know, like, Dak is definitely not the kind of guy I would want to invest my future in for, like, the next 10 years, you know, like $300 million or something crazy like that, which is pretty much just about what Dallas did. I don't know. He's that's another guy. Talented, but is he actually good? Is he actually a killer? You know, you're not going to win a Super Bowl with Dak Prescott. You're not. He's going to have some success, but it's limited. At best, you're going to have a .500 playoff record, you know, with him. You're going to maybe win the wild card round and then lose in the division, because the Cowboys don't go to the NFC title game anymore, especially when Green Bay's waiting for them one way or another. Like I talked about, you know, so many times in this show, when Aaron Rodgers made the Cowboys look like complete idiots, drawing them off sides and was laughing, and they just kicked their butts. And that's when I first started appreciating Aaron Rodgers more and more. I mean, he made them look like idiots. He was just kind of laughing, like, this is fun. They were jumping off sides like a bunch of nitwits. You know, he's doing, and I appreciate it, because it's like the Cowboys and Packers, you kind of hate them equally. So it's like whenever one of them looks like an idiot, it's okay. It's kind of fun to watch. Even if one of them's winning, it's funny. And for some reason, I took pleasure in the Cowboys getting their butts kicked, even if it's by Green Bay. Because, I don't know, as arrogant or as annoying as Packer fans are, there's like another level of arrogance in Dallas that has been there pretty much forever, going at least back to the 1970s. So it's like you know, like obviously before I was born in the mid 70s, I wasn't born yet. So it's like, and of course, you know, the infamous Drew Pearson push off, stuff like that. It's like, I'm sorry, I don't, bullcrap like that, and, you know, and the arrogance of the Cowboys forever, it's impossible to root for them. Unless Randall Cunningham's their quarterback and Bill Parcells is their coach, those are the only times I kind of liked the Cowboys for a minute. I kind of did during that time when Cunningham was a quarterback of the Cowboys for like a minute, and it was fun to watch. And Bill Parcells was their coach at another time. That was okay. I kind of liked them for a minute, but that was then. It was a very short time. Plus, they weren't exactly there was just a different vibe then. I hope Bill Belichick doesn't go to the Cowboys for that. But then again, maybe it'll make me like him for a minute. Ugh, scary thought, actually. Anyhow, the Packers won easily. I am going off on my own like personal rant, personal like tirade here, and I apologize that I'm babbling so much. Romeo Dobbs, Dobbs. Man, unbelievable. 6 catches, 151 yards, just romping all over the Cowboys. Impressive performance. And again, Jordan Love does look like a future 10-time Pro Bowler for the Green Bay Packers. Like, how does he not make the Pro Bowl? It's like, duh, of course. Packers look good, and they're going to San Francisco next week. And if history continues the way it does, like I keep repeating myself, we know who's going to win that game. We know. And we'll talk about it shortly. Next case. Before we get to Detroit, LA, let's do it in chronological order. I guess. I know it's kind of weird. This is kind of the game of the week. It looked like it was going to be a really high-scoring game, epic, and then all of a sudden it was a battle of defenses. And it got brutal, and it got harsh, and it got painful. Matthew Stafford looked like he had a concussion and maybe injured shoulder or something, a broken collarbone. It looked like it could have been anything. And then he got back up and played. And it was like he played. It was unbelievable. Pakua Nakua, one player after another, one big first down after another, also got in the end zone. There were multiple penalties that probably should have been called on Detroit that weren't. But I personally wanted Detroit to win this game. I'm tired of the Rams, you know. I'm tired of the Rams. I don't want them to win anything. I don't despise them like the Yuck City Chefs, but I'm still tired of the Rams. It'd be entertaining, you know, like years ago, it would have been an entertaining Super Bowl, the Rams and the Chiefs. A lot of people wanted that to happen. But that was when Jared Goff was their quarterback. Stafford, I mean, heck, it could have happened as well. Could have happened a couple times. Would have been interesting, but Cincinnati took care of business. And Cincinnati just couldn't finish the job in that Super Bowl against the Rams. And it was heartbreaking, man. It really was. I wish Cincinnati could have won that game. This was a pretty entertaining football game. And Stafford, I mean, you got to have a ton of respect for him. Detroit's defense didn't force a turnover on those on the Rams. Didn't force a turnover from Matthew Stafford, because occasionally he'll do that. He's definitely a gunslinger. He's one of those swashbuckling Southern quarterbacks, and he plays with a vengeance, you know, like Nick Mullins does. But obviously Nick Mullins is a backup, and he's a backup because he's crazy. But obviously he has a talent, but he's crazy, is Nick Mullins. But, you know, like the Favres, the Jeff Georges and such, that just, you know, they play with that extra, you know, attitude, I guess you could say. Of course, George, nah, he wasn't as, not nearly as physical and gritty as Stafford and Favre and guys like that. Stafford, it looked like a concussion for sure, just a stare. But, I mean, Pakua Nakua, he was clearly, you know, what was it, a helmet-to-helmet hit that should have been called on Detroit. Tyler Higbee, yeah. He was only targeted once, but that was it was a very low blow by Joseph on Detroit. I mean, that was, Kirby Joseph. What the heck, man? Low blow on Higbee, just like a low blow on our guy, TJ Hawkinson, that ended up being an ACL and MCL. I mean, that's devastating. That's a devastating injury on TJ Hawkinson, going right down the knee. It's just unbelievable. And and it was similar. He was upended, hitting the knee, upended, got up, and then was like, nope, you know, that's pretty much what happened with T.J. Hockenson, where Higbee limped off the field, but very gingerly. So we'll have to wait and see what happened there. Clearly, you could see the knee bend. I'm not sure if it's going to be as severe as T.J. Hockenson, but we'll have to wait and see. Is there any information? Terrible Tyler Higbee injury update. Okay, well, what's the terrible? Suffered a brutal knee injury. Okay, that sucks. Yep, to ACL. Yep. So the way you saw it move, that had ACL written on it. Interesting how Laporta's knee bent almost the same way, but it was like a grade one sprain of the MCL. So my goodness, Laporta dodged a bullet. I mean, I thought he was out for the year. Like, I thought it was going to be like, you know, we'll see you hopefully in September, hopefully. Where Higbee, yeah, that's an ACL. Yep. So I just wanted to make absolute sure. That sucks. Yeah. So that, so Kirby Joseph now has two ACLs on his low blow. Has caused two ACL injuries now with those low blows, which I think should have a conversation. That's messed up. Okay, they believe that he tore his right ACL, but that means he probably did. Yeah, well, he tore his ACL. I don't know if it's right or, but yeah. So they're going to get more testing. But once these trainers know. The trainers know and the players probably know too. Usually when you hear that kind of stuff, that means that's probably it. So that's too bad. The way he was able to walk off the field, maybe it wasn't a grade three, where three is when it's popped. It could be like a two, where it's like a tear, but not like complete. Maybe it's a little easier to fix. But either way, it's an ACL is an ACL. It's really bad. and the Viking fans pissed off as also with T.J. Hockenson. Yeah, who is this? Alec Lewis. Yep, Kirby Joseph did the same thing to T.J. Hockenson. That's absolutely atrocious. Yeah, so it's really disappointing. So obviously that one hit home, literally hit home. ACL and MCL, I mean, that's... Hockenson was like, man, he had an amazing run after such a slow start to the season. He was putting up some incredible numbers. Like, he's going to get like 100 catches and such, but unfortunately there's that. Alec Lewis, yeah, local there. Yeah, it's just... what the heck, man? 47 receptions, 495 yards and 2 touchdowns in the regular season for Higbee. Tyler Higbee. So that's just a really big shame, man. So sad to hear about that. I thought that might have been what it was. It's just, yeah, I mean, like a helmet going into your knee. That's like, you know, sorry. It's just, and you watch it bend. It's just like, damn it. You know, you hate seeing stuff like that. So thank you, LA Sports Hub. This is, this is FanSided. Yep, I have an account with FanSided for the Minnesota Wild. I haven't ridden forever, though. Gone Puck Wild. I haven't ridden forever. I wonder if my account's still active. It'd be kind of cool, yeah. So, yep, I even work for the same publication, but that's too bad, though. Damn, that's too bad. Yep, Rams Wire. So, yeah, it's like, it's not good. They should probably suspend Joseph, I think. Kirby Joseph, that's messed up. That kind of stuff just can't be happening. Luckily for Laporta, again, he played. It was a grade one sprain on the MCL, and he played. So must be very microscopic tears. Hopefully they healed up enough that he's going to be okay in terms of Laporta. But it's just ironic how he Sam Laporta, who also had a touchdown in the game, dodges a bullet and plays. And then the Detroit player who made the hits injures two guys out for the season. All tight ends. Every one of them is a tight end. So it's just ironic. Higbee, not quite as big of a star as some of these other guys, but still a valuable piece. You know, Hockenson's a big name. You know, Laporta replaced Hockenson in Detroit and has had an awesome rookie year. So I don't know. It kind of sucks. But that kind of got me sidetracked here. I'm going down a major rabbit hole. But it's an important talker in the NFL right now. These low hits. That's bull crap, honestly. Kind of stuff shouldn't be happening. Why am I watching tennis? Even though it's in Melbourne, and I like Melbourne tennis. playing some tennis in Melbourne, Australia, in case Vince Germano's listening. Sorry. I'm kind of weird. It is kind of ironic, too, and it's like, yes, it's the big-time storyline. Jared Goff going against the team that, you know, that gave up on him, rejected him, because they wanted the big-name guy who happened to be the Detroit quarterback, who had a lot of near misses in the postseason. One of the teams was Dallas. Yep, when Detroit would lose, Detroit lost to Dallas in those playoff games. They'd make the playoffs with a good record, but just not win the division because Green Bay was just so great. And then, yeah, those great seasons by the Packers. And Detroit wouldn't make the playoff, or Detroit wouldn't advance, and they wouldn't advance. Matthew Stafford, so, you know, frustrated beyond belief, gives it everything he's got. You know, 3rd and 13 against the Vikings, and he'd find a way to rush for a first down. Son of a gun, you know, drove us crazy. Number one overall pick by the Lions years ago after an 0-16 record. So, of course, they had the number one pick in the draft, and that was Matthew Stafford. And great career with Detroit. Goes to L.A. for Jared Goff. And, you know, it's like, here, you can have our guy. And, you know, we wanted to get Matthew Stafford to go for a big run. And they did. They wound up winning the Super Bowl after a slow start to that season. Coming back against holding on to a lead, taking an early lead on the Bucs, dodging a bullet as the Bucs should have beat them, but then the defense took over. San Francisco kind of a grind it out, back and forth, NFC title game. 49ers should have won that one, but they didn't. And Garoppolo choked and all that stuff, because that's Garoppolo for you, because he just does. He's not that good. Donald, you know, swallowed him up, and then similar, unfortunately, with Joe Burrow, who Cincinnati had that game, and they just couldn't finish the job. L.A. took a late lead, and and then Donald swallowed him up. Okay, and L.A. got their championship, and Matthew Stafford got his ring. But then you had him going up against Detroit, and of all things, losing in Detroit in the playoffs, that just kind of figures, poor guy, as they finally got to host a playoff game for the first time since 91. This is the first time. That's not true. That's not true. 93, they hosted it for sure. Yeah, not 94. 93, they hosted it. And, you know, the Packers went in Detroit and beat them because they were just better than that Detroit team. This Detroit team was able to hang on by the skin of their teeth, but unfortunately, again, some penalties that probably should have been called. The defense was giving up some chunk plays and such. Pakua Nakua, his first playoff game, 191 yards and a touchdown. Definitely a rookie of the year kind of a guy. Incredible numbers. This game was really something to watch. Amon-Ra St. Brown had some huge plays that set up Detroit touchdowns and then ultimately set up the win, where Detroit could finally pull out the victory formation, run the clock, and celebrate their first playoff win in, you know, gosh, 33 years. So it's a long time. It's a long wait. 32 years. It's a long wait. Detroit ultimately would get romped by the Redskins in the NFC title game and then would not come to the Metrodome. Imagine if Detroit got to play in the Metrodome against the Bills. That would have been kind of cool. That would have been cool. But instead it was the stinking Redskins, and then they won with Mark Rypien at quarterback. How exciting. That was such a boring game. God, that was such a boring game. And I did watch that. That's the first Super Bowl I watched the whole thing. It was boring. I was like, oh, boy, I hope football's not like this all the time. But sometimes it's just that's the way it is. It's a bad matchup, plain and simple. And Detroit ended up surviving this one. Despite, we'll see what happens next week. But, they're going to definitely be hosting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are very well coached, I think. I think Todd Bowles does a good job. Baker Mayfield is another guy who's been a reclamation project, you could say. He's, after being a number one overall pick, just like Jared Goff, moving on to a new team and having some playoff success with that team with a nice, strong finish. And to think this team won the Super Bowl just a few years ago with Tom Brady at quarterback. Todd Bowles is the defensive coordinator with, Bruce Arians, who was a guest with Peyton and Eli tonight. That was cool. He was one of the guests. Tampa Bay, though, they're going to be a threat for Detroit. We'll see. But this was a great game. I thought the winner of this game could possibly go to the NFC Championship game. That would be a sacrificial lamb. But no, if But ultimately, I guess if the Rams won the game, they were going to be going to San Francisco next week. So, no. The Rams would not go to the NFC title game without beating San Francisco first. So, no. I think San Francisco is going to be in the NFC title game, no doubt. But, so that's a spoiler alert, of course. Detroit getting the job done, though, by the skin of their teeth, getting those clutch plays down the stretch. And Jared Goff had a pretty damn good game, and good for him not turning the ball over. And Minnesota, obviously, again, helping hand them a win by, you know, just not being good enough. Plain and simple, in Detroit. And the Lions sweep the Vikings this year and go on to the postseason and finally win their first playoff game. And good for them. I better keep moving very quickly. So now we go to MLK Day here with the Buffalo Bills hosting the Pittsburgh Steelers. This wasn't much of a game. Like, Buffalo came off to an early lead. Clearly, they were the better team. Mason Rudolph was adequate. He was respectable. It's not like he was terrible, but he did have the interception in the game. He had to attempt 39 passes to only get to 229 yards. He's a backup quarterback. He's not a terrible quarterback. He's a backup quarterback. The running game for Pittsburgh was adequate, but they were behind. They were playing from behind early and often, basically. Josh Allen was able to run for 74 yards, three touchdown passes, and a rush. An incredible performance overall. Stephon Diggs, is this his last season in Buffalo? We'll have to wait and see on that one. But Kincaid got a touchdown. Shakir and others helping Buffalo build that lead and hang on to victory. Shakir was the one who got the touchdown to make it 31-17. Pittsburgh made it interesting for a minute. Rudolph to Austin with 10 minutes left. You know, only down by a touchdown. Anything could happen. Forced Josh Allen into one as a mistake by a pretty well-coached team, Pittsburgh. You never know. Something could happen. But at the end of the day, Buffalo, a team who, you know, what were they at? Like, at a point where it was only 5% chance they were going to even make the playoffs when they were, like, 6-6, and they win their last five games. An impressive finish by the Buffalo Bills. They looked dead and gone. I thought the coach was going to be fired. Diggs was going to be in Atlanta or Tampa or who knows where. Come back to Minnesota. No, he's not going to do that. But whatever he's going to do. But Pittsburgh just, you know, they looked like a 7 seed. They looked like a team that deserved to be in the playoffs, but that's it. You know, they're just there. Buffalo was a far superior team and got the job done. I think there's a real good chance Buffalo goes to the AFC Championship game. And frankly, considering who next week's opponent is, I freaking hope they do. And they owe them something. They really do. It's time for a third time's a charm type of thing. As lame as that can sound. I mean, it takes three times for you to beat a team in the playoffs, but, well, it is what it is. Buffalo Bills getting the job done, and their team going into the playoffs red hot. They could go to the Super Bowl, honestly. Buffalo could go to the Super Bowl. I don't think there's any doubt at the end of the day. That's a lot shorter one conversation, and the Philadelphia-Tampa one should be a short conversation as well. Really enjoy watching Peyton and Eli. I often have to miss Monday Night Football because I'm a second shift person. So it sucks. It sucks. I mean, otherwise you get caught. And if it's the Vikings, I have to get caught up and all that. Get caught up on everything. And then all that so I can do the podcast. Mayfield had a great game for the most part. Philadelphia defense disoriented for the most part. Philadelphia offense disoriented for the most part. The chemistry's missing. Devonta Smith had a freaking awesome game, there's no doubt. He's a stud receiver, 8 catches for 148 yards. But, I mean, just opportunity after opportunity for Philadelphia to get back in this game, to make big stops and such, and they just didn't get the job done. And you had guys crashing into each other and such, which kind of pretty much put Tampa Bay in position to wrap this sucker up. The pass to Trey Palmer, that was the big one. That was the dagger. That was the play of the game. That was when you knew that the Eagles were just not going to win the game. They just weren't. Along with the safety as well, just poor blocking, and Jalen Hurts not getting rid of the ball. It was just a 7-point game for Pete's sake. It was just a 7-point game. Like, what the hell happened here? So it was just a huge, huge turn of events. Philadelphia was within 7 points. It was a fairly low-scoring game, despite their offense kind of sputtering. At least the defense was keeping them in it, and the offense looked like they might have had some momentum on their side, and then they just continued to fail. and fail and fail. And then you have the safety. Tampa getting the safety to make it go from a 7-point game to a 9-point game. That's a big difference. And then right after that, it's just like you just knew something was going to happen. Baker Mayfield passes to Trey Palmer. Philadelphia defenders crash into each other. And like Ray Rice, there was another Philadelphia defender that all he had to do was at least slow the guy down. He tries to like do an open field tackle, make a spectacular play, basically. And there was nothing, there was no stopping Palmer after that. It ended up being a 56-yard touchdown. And all of a sudden, a game that was 16-9 is 25-9. Just within like a few minutes there. Just within about a one-minute stretch. Just devastating. Philadelphia Eagles had the ball. They give up the safety, and then the Mayfield play up right after that. Mayfield to Palmer. Just a huge turn of events. And that's kind of the game right there in a lot of ways. But, extremely disappointing. Poor defense down the stretch. Philadelphia Eagles had an opportunity to kick a field goal to make it 25-12. Maybe it's like, okay, you still have a chance. It's not a great situation, but you still might have a slight chance. Then a Buccaneer jumps off sides. So then the Eagles go for it on 4th and 5. They try to hit a home run. Rather than just get the 5 damn yards, they try to hurl it in the end zone. A play that just wasn't there, just wasn't meant to be against, again, a team that's got good defense in Tampa Bay. They made Kirk Cousins look stupid, didn't they? They made us look bad. I don't mean about Cousins like being crappy. I'm not trying to kick him when he's down, but they made us look bad, damn it. That was an early indicator that this team was better than we thought. A lot of us thought Tampa was going to finish dead last. They didn't finish dead last, did they? They're in the second round of the playoffs. Second round. And the Vikings almost did finish last this year. We kind of did. Tied with Chicago. Embarrassing, man. But you try to force it instead of just get that 5 yards. Just get the damn 5 yards. Especially when your offense is sputtering as bad as it was. You try to go for the goal. You try to go for the glory on a 4th and 5. And it's like, I don't know. And then Ray Lewis said, that's the game right there. And it's like, yeah, it was. It was. Philadelphia didn't score another point. And Tampa added another touchdown. Chris Goodwin, the veteran, 23-yard touchdown from Baker Mayfield. And then 32-9, the blowout was on. That's when I started recording. So there it is. That's it. That's basically, you can kind of say it. This is like Paul Allen and Pete Bursich basically summing up what happened to Philadelphia during that stretch.
Come on!
Sounds about right. So that was, yeah, that was stupid. It was bullcrap, man. Complete bullcrap. I wanted Philadelphia to win this game, damn it. I did, but I don't know. I mean, it's not like it's killing me or anything. It just was, it's kind of sad, kind of hard to watch, that was hard to watch. Like, Philadelphia looked like a Super Bowl contender 5-6 weeks ago. Tampa Bay, yeah, you know, there's this cute little team hanging around 500-ish and below 500, but I guess they're still alive, and look at them now. Jeez. Sometimes it's just how it is. You know, they're just gritty, and they have nothing to lose and all that cute stuff. And good job, Baker Mayfield. You know, good for you. Good for you. Let's get to the divisional rounds. Shall we get on to the divisional rounds and reset some things. Obviously, the team that I picked to win the Super Bowl and be there, also the two teams, they're still around, obviously, because they didn't even play. Both the number one seeds, of course, that figures, right? Wonder if they actually have the schedule. I think they did. Hopefully they'll show us what the schedule is coming up. But Baltimore and Houston, well, there it is. Baltimore and Houston in the AFC should be an epic battle, no doubt about it. This one is Saturday. Yep, that's what I thought. 3:30 ESPN. So this probably is the opener. Baltimore hosting the Houston Texans. Houston Texans could pull the upset off. They could pull off an upset in this game. I don't think there's really a doubt. Of course they could. And last time Baltimore was the number one seed in the AFC, they choked in the first round. That was a big deal, actually. I'm trying to remember who beat them. Was it Cincinnati? Few years ago, that might have been the Cincinnati Bengals. I think it was, actually. An insanely impressive win. Baltimore just still looked, they just looked unprepared. It was a mess. And it was similar to kind of like the Eagles almost today. Kind of. Not as bad, but similar. It was like, what the heck happened here? Houston could win this football game. With that said, I think Baltimore is a well-oiled machine. I think they should win this game. I think they absolutely should. It's just Houston reserves the right for an upset here. But it's like, if Houston does win, I am not claiming that I picked it. But I will say, yeah, it will be like, yeah, I'm not overly surprised if they do, per se. But I am going to pick Baltimore in this game. I think Baltimore is just the better team. Obviously, you have Lamar Jackson. You know, he's not the spectacular statistics all over the place or anything, but he did rush for 821 yards. Pretty remarkable numbers at the end of the day. Five touchdowns, obviously. 368 passing yards, 24 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. They're not the sexiest numbers ever. Stroud, over 4,100 yards. That's a fantastic. Only 5 interceptions on the air. I mean, you know what? If anybody could upset the Baltimore Ravens in the divisional round, it's the Houston Texans. It wasn't going to be the Dolphins or anybody like that, depending on what the matchups were going to be. Buffalo could beat them too, though. I mean, I think the one team that won't beat them is the Chiefs at the end of the day. They had their little day in the sun. I think they're going to pay for it now in a big way. Injuries and such. Dethridge, undisclosed, questionable. He's a tackle. Nick Broeker, guard, inactive. Coach's decision. But that was this past week, though. Noah Brown, wide receiver, questionable. So, interesting. Kevin Zeitler with a knee out. That's Baltimore. Jordan Swan, questionable. Jaquan Amos. But this is like, yeah, these are, yep. But that's kind of the situations going into the game and such. Baltimore, obviously, you know, they have great offense, generally speaking, but a really good defense as well. They lead the league in rushing yards, number one in the league. They lead the league in sacks as well. So it's a great pass rush, and they run the ball super well. They get a lot of interceptions, third in the league. So it's definitely an intriguing matchup. They're also the most stingy team in the league, only allowing 16.5 points. So I just think the veteran team beats the with all these great numbers and such, takes care of business over Houston. So at the end of the day, I do have Baltimore in the AFC title game. Shall we continue with the... Yeah, let's stay in the AFC. Let's just kind of do them side by side. I'd like to do them... I'm going to do them in chronological order. Let's see, what's the next game? How dare they put San Francisco Green Bay right away? But I guess, so you're going to have both number one seeds play on Saturday. That's funny. But San Francisco, Green Bay. I mean, Green Bay looks like a threat in this league. They do. And they're going to be a threat, I think, for a while. So here we go again, Viking fans. Isn't that just great? Don't you just feel warm and fuzzy thinking the Green Bay is going to be good again for a long time again? Well, maybe they won't be. It probably won't last as long as Rodgers and Favre, but it might. I hope not. But it might. San Francisco, though, they have a young quarterback as well. You know, Jordan Love and Brock Purdy's numbers are almost interchangeable. That's frightening. Oh my God, they both threw 11 interceptions. Jordan Love actually has one more touchdown pass to Brock Purdy, 32-31. That's interesting, isn't it? That's extremely interesting. Christian Watson, yep, wide receiver, questionable for Green Bay, so on and so forth. J.I.R. Brown, safety, out with the knee, but that was back, January the 5th. San Francisco is number three in the league in points. Green Bay's only 12th. Total yards, San Francisco's second. Yep, they've been pretty impressive numbers. So, I mean, there's a reason why they're the number one seed, even though they had some mediocre performance down the stretch. Number one in the league in interceptions, Green Bay's one of the weakest. So 31st in the league is Green Bay. San Francisco is number one on the planet with interceptions. So I just think the San Francisco defense is probably the difference maker. Other than the offense, obviously, is insanely talented. It's a great offense and a great defense. Christian McCaffrey, such a complete player. 1,459 yards. Just sick. 14 touchdowns. That's rush yards, not including his receiving yards. Brock Purdy, 4,280 passing yards. Jordan Love, 4,159. Yep, impressive. Aaron Jones, 656 yards on the ground, but he had about that many versus Dallas. He only rushed for 2 touchdowns this season, but he did miss a significant amount of time. He had 3 versus the Cowboys. It's just ironic. More touchdowns. And Jaden Reed's a huge pain in the ass as well. He's a young up-and-comer. He's very talented. It's a very young football team. are the Packers. So they're going to be a threat. San Francisco is, you know, their quarterback's young. It's like his second year, for Pete's sake. And he was Mr. Irrelevant. So what an amazing story if he ends up leading the 49ers to the Super Bowl. And a lot of us believe he could. But obviously, again, there's other players to go with him. It's a great supporting cast. Brandon Ayuk with 1,342 yards and 7 TDs on the season. 49ers have owned Green Bay for quite a while. For quite a while. Since the late 90s, pretty much. The whole Kaepernick era, dare I say that name. the whole Kaepernick era, they owned him. But the last couple of years as well, even the Garoppolo era, they owned the Packers in the NFC title game and in the second round and whatever. Jordan Love is not Aaron Rodgers, so for some reason, Aaron Rodgers was owned by the 49ers. Aaron Rodgers, who wanted to be drafted by the 49ers, was owned by the 49ers in the playoffs. We'll see what happens. Jordan Love is coming in loosey-goosey. So you never know. Maybe we'll see one of the weirdest, craziest upsets in a long time. This would be one of the biggest in a long, long time if the Packers pull this off. With that said, I do believe the 49ers take care of business, and they better. They better take care of business. No excuses here. San Francisco loses this game. It's a huge failure. Huge, huge missed opportunity. And they're going to be regretting it for a long time at the end of the day if they don't win this game. But I do think the 49ers do advance to the NFC Championship game at the end of the day. I think it's going to be closer than a lot of us are hoping. Probably the Baltimore-Houston game, I think I'm going to go with the final score, something along the likes of, I don't even know. Doggone it. See, it's like I Baltimore-Houston is going to be something along the likes of, I think it's going to be like 31-21. Baltimore wins by 10. San Francisco-Green Bay, it's 34-34 it's going to be a close one. 34-27, 49ers win by a touchdown. But the 49ers end up winning the game down the stretch. Might even go to OT, but the 49ers will win the game over the Green Bay Packers. 34-27 in my guesstimation. The Chiefs and the Kansas City Baltimores. Okay, what am I talking about? Who knows what I'm even talking about? The Chiefs, the Buffalo Bills are hosting the Kansas City Chiefs thanks to them getting the number 2 seed. So it's probably a good thing that Buffalo won that game versus Miami last week, because if they didn't, you know, and obviously that was a dumb prediction on my part, picking Miami, dumb prediction, and I blew it, yep. Buffalo winning, though, I mean, that's a good chance you can finally get rid of the Chiefs now. You can get rid of them. Just go away. Even though Buffalo might have gone into Kansas City and won, but actually it would have been Pittsburgh going to the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs would have had the number 2 seed, which would have been really annoying. God, that would have sucked. Buffalo would have had to go to Houston, I believe. That would have been really weird. Yeah, that would have been weird. Interesting matchup, possibly. Yeah, like say, yeah, that would have been a tough matchup. Let's just leave it at that. My mind is just stopping. Yeah, my mind is going all over the place here with this one. I forget exactly what all the matchups would have been, but it doesn't matter. It's over now. Kansas City Chiefs, of course, you know, Patrick Mahomes, everybody thinks he's the greatest thing ever. He did throw for a bunch of interceptions compared to what he's done in the past. 14 is high for him. Josh Allen, though, has thrown 18, so that's kind of annoying and disappointing. James Cook, not Delvin, but James Cook, 2 touchdowns only the whole year, 1,122 yards. That's interesting. And Stephon Diggs did wind up leading the Buffalo Bills in receiving this year, despite the fact he had some really low-scoring games the past several weeks, or really off and on during the course of the year. It's a pretty good matchup, but I do think Buffalo is the better team. I don't know if I'm ever going to get Baltimore out of my system here. Both teams have a really good pass rush. Kansas City's number 2 in the league with 57 sacks. Buffalo, number 4 with 53 sacks. Buffalo, though, this is a big difference that they actually get interceptions as well. That's a big deal. 3rd in the league, where Kansas City's only 8th. So that could really help the Buffalo Bills, and home field's going to make a big difference. Believe me. The Chiefs can win anywhere. I know they're a threat. I know they've been a big threat for a while. They've won some road games and such. Time of possession, Buffalo's number 2 in the league. They take care of the ball. And, well, when you have a quarterback that can run and get those first downs, that's going to do that. So both quarterbacks are capable of scrambling for a first down, there's no doubt. But I think Buffalo's been on a mission, and Kansas City is kind of weird. I think they're distracted, you know, with all this added, you know, publicity. I think it's a distraction. I think it's too much. This is not the year the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, and if it is, I'm going to be, God, ugh. I'm gonna feel cheated as a football fan, honestly, that all this celebrity distraction bullcrap, and you still win a championship. Ugh. It's just like, why can't it be somebody else? Teams like this are the teams that usually have to lose at some point along the way because of all the distractions. Like the Lakers for a while were like that. I do think the Buffalo Bills win the game. Again, they are red hot. They're playing as good as anybody right now. They could easily go to the Super Bowl. They might even win it. They might even win the Super Bowl this year. They probably won't, but they could. They are one of the teams that's legitimately capable of winning the whole thing this year. They've been a threat for the last 3 years or so. I remember when the Vikings beat them on the road last year. It was the game of the year. It was the game of the year. Stephon Diggs Justin Jefferson made the catch of the season last year. It was the play of the entire season. It was everywhere. And that was one of the big defining moments of the Vikings' win in Buffalo. Despite the Josh Allen fumble at the goal line, that was really tough on the Chiefs, and the Vikings pulled off a spectacular win there. It was a big deal at the time, considering Buffalo was looked on as the best team in the league. It was sad how they ended up failing in the playoffs last year, but maybe Buffalo, this is the year they go all the way. They will beat the Kansas City Chiefs in the game. Final score, it'll probably be closer than the Pittsburgh game. I gotta think so, yeah. I think it's going to be kind of like, it's going to be a little bit tougher, a little bit more black and blue. 27-24 is going to be very close, but Buffalo finally overcomes the Chiefs. The Chiefs have owned Buffalo, unfortunately, but partially, though, the Chiefs were heavily favored. They were at home. They were, you know, en route to championships and such, or at least getting to the Super Bowl. So that was kind of the way things went with the Chiefs and the Bills and such. It was frustrating, and you hated seeing it happen. Like when they went to their first Super Bowl and beat the 49ers, they killed the Bills in that AFC title game. And then the next year they beat the Bills again. Ugh, that was disappointing and sad. But luckily the Buccaneers destroyed the Chiefs, but didn't help again that the left tackle was out. That's a big difference. Mike Remmers was the guy who had to replace him, and I felt bad for that poor guy. I do feel bad, considering what happened here in Minnesota. We helped screw up his career, playing him out of position and all that, and having to play guard. That's tough. Hasn't really recovered ever since we sent him from Detroit, Mike Remmers. But the Bills will win the game by 3 points. It's going to be close. It's going to be a battle back and forth. But Buffalo gets the job done. Kansas City does not win the football game. Hallelujah. Detroit and Tampa. Not necessarily the feature presentation here. Probably could have been San Francisco, Green Bay. In a lot of ways, I think next week the feature presentation is Buffalo, Kansas City. I think so. I think that's the feature presentation. But the Buffalo Bills will play the Baltimore Ravens in the AFC Championship game in what will be an epic battle. Tampa Bay versus the Detroit Lions. Are you kidding me? One of these two teams is going to go to the NFC Championship game. It's in Ford Field. I think, yep, so with the Lions hanging on by the skin of their teeth against the LA Rams, my prediction is going to be correct. The Detroit Lions are going to the NFC title game. I don't think Tampa Bay wins at Detroit. I don't think so. They could, but I think they're a lot better at home than they are on the road. Detroit, obviously, is a good, you know, pretty good home team, and they are better than their record, honestly. They are. It's just that the Rams were so freaking hot. They might have gone to the Super Bowl. That's how hot they were. You never know. I mean, they look freaking dangerous. Jared Goff, an amazing season, though. I mean, let's be honest. Credit where it's due. 4,575 yards, 30 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. David Montgomery, very clutch. Former Chicago Bear, 13 touchdowns. Goal line threat, where they do utilize the running game, despite the fact they utilize that passing game. Dan Campbell is one heck of a gunslinger of a coach. Swashbuckling gunslinger. Amon St. Brown is absolutely elite. 1,515 yards, 10 touchdowns. Amazing year with 119 receptions. Big plays, even though they're doing that weird Honolulu blue hair thing. But at least it's just a Detroit Lions thing. It's not a, I'm a weird guy looking for attention, you know. So that's the cool part. Rachaad White, 990 yards and 6 touchdowns on the season. Mike Evans is like the leader of that team in a lot of ways in Tampa, particularly on the offensive side. 1,255 yards with 13 touchdowns. Mayfield had a great year. 4,000 yards, 28 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. He had a great season. So it's two guys who were number one overall picks for their respective teams. Goff had more success than Mayfield. He took his team to the Super Bowl. Now, again, that defense was freaking awesome. And there were other great offensive players, and he has the great offensive mind in Sean McVay, who unfortunately lost patience as Goff kind of got worse and worse after that Super Bowl loss to the Patriots. Yes, they lost to the Patriots in the Super Bowl. By this, you know, it was two great defenses going at it, to be quite honest. My goodness, Philadelphia was 0-11 on 3rd and 4. What the flip? 3rd and 4th down. Yep, it's an amazing stat. Sirianni might have coached his last game for the Eagles, and to think, he almost won the Super Bowl last year. Just amazing how things can change so dramatically. It's a shame. It is. A lot of people don't like him. I don't know. I don't really have a huge problem with him. But then again, I don't know. I mean, he's done... something has gone awry in Philly, and it's not pretty. Unfortunately, a lot of shaking heads and frustration throughout the game. But no, Detroit is going to win this football game. I don't have a whole lot of doubt. As impressive as Tampa looked today, I think it's going to go significantly different in Detroit. Maybe I'll be proved majorly wrong and you'll see a Tampa-San Francisco conference final. Wouldn't that be crazy? It'd be crazy. Or Tampa-Green Bay. That'd be weird. That'd be weird. Well, Tampa would host it and possibly go to the Super Bowl, or maybe it's... I think if the Packers, let's just put it that way. I have a prediction about that. I'm going to come back to it here in a second. Because there's always that NFC, one game in the divisional round that defines everything. And I mean everything. I don't think it's this one. I don't. I think the Detroit Lions do win this game and do get to their first NFC title game since the last time they advanced in the playoffs. They go back to the NFC title game. At the end of the day, they're going to beat the Buccaneers I think it's going to be a high-scoring football game, even though you'd think it shouldn't be, though, with Todd Bowles as the, it's an offensive coach versus a defensive coach. So it shouldn't be like that at the end of the day. Now I'm going to change it. Well, it's going to be scoring. There's going to be scoring in the game. But I think Detroit gets to 28 points at the end of the day with that prolific offense and the gunslinger ability. And the Buccaneers wind up with 20. I think the Lions win by 8. The Lions get the job done. And they advance to the NFC Championship game where they will kick off against the San Francisco 49ers. So my semi-hot take here, the winner of... the San Francisco Green Bay game, are you ready? Wins the Super Bowl. Yeah. The winner of the San Francisco Green Bay game wins the Super Bowl. If the Packers somehow get past the 49ers, they win the Super Bowl. It'll be like Aaron Rodgers all over again in 2010. Yep. So if somehow Green Bay puts it together and gets the job done, they win the Super Bowl. It's probably the stupidest, craziest pick in the history of the world. Imagine an epic Green Bay and Buffalo Super Bowl. That'd be kind of fun to watch. But well, we might see San Francisco and Buffalo in the Super Bowl. There's a pretty good chance that's going to happen. I'm still going to stick to the Harbaugh Bowl rematch with San Francisco winning it. So with San Francisco, I do pick them to win the game and to win the Super Bowl at the end of the day. But I got a feeling, you know, I mean, a lot of people were thinking, oh, the AFC wins the Super Bowl this year. Maybe it'll be Buffalo. Maybe it'll be Baltimore. Maybe it'll be the Houston Texans. Who knows? Maybe it will be the Houston Texans. Maybe they will go all the way. But I think the winner of Green Bay, San Francisco, is a Super Bowl champion. So there's always that magical game. And sometimes, you know, a lot of times I'm right about these for whatever reason. Not always, but a lot of times I am. I remember the way back in the day, was it Baltimore versus the Tennessee Titans. Brian Billick said the winner of this game wins the Super Bowl. Baltimore went into, this was in 2000, Baltimore went into Tennessee, beat them, and won the Super Bowl. That was just the divisional round, folks. Pretty gutsy. prediction. And there's a lot of times during this divisional round that there's that magical game where whoever wins that game ends up going all the way and winning it. And it could be either team. I think it's San Francisco Green Bay this year, which is the weirdest thing probably ever. A lot of people might be thinking Baltimore or Buffalo and Kansas City. Others might think Baltimore, Houston. I don't think anybody's thinking Detroit or Tampa wins the Super Bowl this year. But I guess stranger things have happened. The New York Giants being that bottom seed and winning it not only once but twice. It's pretty wild, but proof that anybody can do it. But I don't know. New York had the ingredients to win a Super Bowl, though. That's the difference. They had a good running game. They had a phenomenal defensive line. They had a good offensive line. And they had a clutch quarterback. They had a clutch quarterback who was like NFL royalty. Just the name Manning is NFL royalty, no matter how you look at it. At the time, people didn't look at Eli that way, but he ended up becoming that. And well-deserved. So there are my predictions. With that, we're going to take a very quick break and come back for a fan interaction segment. Very busy, busy show. I didn't think I would talk this long, but wow, that was fun though. I enjoyed it and I hope you did as well. And we are back here on Fan Interaction here on Purple Mafia. Just a two-segment show. Usually these off-season shows are two segments. Though State of the Vikings will be a three-segment show, you know, to get the, you know, this and that. So, oh yeah, I'm even going to look at Tankathon here quick. So before I jump into, Fan Interaction, I'm going to look at Tankathon here. The Minnesota Vikings put the 11th pick, take Michael Penix Jr., Washington. That's the team that unfortunately lost the national championship game, but we'll see. We'll see. Great quarterback rating this year with Washington. 36 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, almost 5,000 yards passing, so we'll see what happens. Last week, the Vikings ended up taking the defensive end, the edge rusher, who in this one winds up going a pick after us to Denver. And it was going to be Bo Nix to Minnesota in the second round. In this case, we take a defensive lineman, Chris Jenkins, who might be a three technique coming out of Michigan. And then Bo Nix goes to the Falcons, maybe Bill Belichick. We'll see with the 43rd pick right after the Vikings. So we'll see how that goes. So there's that mock draft conversation. Still Caleb Williams coming to Chicago, number one overall. So and then Drake May going to Washington Commanders, and Jaden Daniels of LSU going to play for the new coach there in New England, linebacker coach who's now the head coach. So we'll get off that very quickly. Purple Mafia Show, at Purple Mafia Show is the Twitter account. I'm going to look at the, what do they call this thing? They call it the Instagram as well. Ooh, yeah, interesting. Sorry, I was looking at something there. We'll get to that as well. I'm kind of like bumping this one thing at a time here. The X, the Twitter account, whatever you want to call it. Better get going. Also, again, okay, yeah, I could have talked about this for a second as well. So the Minnesota Vikings will host, of course, you know, the division games, Detroit, Green Bay, and Chicago, but we'll also be hosting the 49ers, the Arizona Cardinals, the Atlanta Falcons, the Houston Texans, we'll see how far they go, Indianapolis Colts and New York Jets. We'll be traveling through, yep, the division, Detroit, Green Bay, Chicago, the LA Rams, Seattle Seahawks, oh God, New York Giants, oh boy, Jacksonville Jaguars, and Tennessee Titans. Okay, interesting. Yeah, so that's that that division there with the division with the Jets and the Texans. That doesn't seem right, does it? Yeah. No, it doesn't seem right. The Colts, yeah, the Colts, the Texans, the Jaguars, and the Titans. The Jets are an extra team, yeah. Yep, that's the extra one. Okay, got it. Sorry. That's the extra team. And, of course, we will be also playing the NFC West. The Rams, the Sea Chickens, the Cardinals, and the 49ers. And then the Falcons are the extra team in the NFC. Makes sense. Makes a lot of... Yeah, it does. It makes sense. Okay, so we're going to hear from Mad Martin. There was no call-in, and if there was, I deeply apologize because I didn't see it. Mad Martin out of Northern Scotland says, most entertaining game by a wide margin so far in these wildcard games. That was the Detroit one, right? Yep. So, next. I was writing on, I wouldn't be surprised if both McCarthy and Stefanski have coached their last game. Unacceptable performances. That's what I was thinking, because they got whooped. You know, the Cleveland Browns got whooped. Man, that seems like 3 years ago already, doesn't it? Mad Martin responds with, not sure if you could put Kevin, that would be Stefanski, on the hot seat. He played four different quarterbacks and managed to make the playoffs. Yeah, they were kind of like the Vikings of the AFC, pardon me, weren't they? So, and they actually made it. They actually made it, but then got crushed. So, yes, I understand. I apologize for that kind of maybe semi-dumb take, whereas McCarthy, I think, is toast. But we'll see. They're going to wait it out a bit. I remember they waited things out even with Garrett as well. So, Mad Martin, final comment here on Twitter says, I think, okay, let's back up, because he's responding to something. Okay, the quarterback, heavy.com, Vikings urged to sign $49 million quarterback to replace Kirk Cousins. That would be Jacoby Brissett, who, yep, I wouldn't mind. He'd be like our bridge quarterback. He'd be our bridge quarterback. Like we draft a quarterback this year. Maybe it's Penix Jr. Jacoby Brissett will be the Matt Castle. He'll be the bridge quarterback going forward, which I think isn't the dumbest idea at all either. I like it. I like the idea of signing Jacoby Brissett. I'm not against that at all. Mad Martin, but yeah, so that's one of the ideas out there, and I wouldn't be against it. I've always liked Jacoby Brissett, actually. I've always been a fan, like with the Colts and such. Mad Martin says, I think it makes a ton of sense. Looking at our division as it stands, we could easily finish last. This could be the hardest division in the league in 24 to 25, so why not just take a step back and build a juggernaut for 25-26? I think so, too. Where Kirk Cousins, maybe he goes to Atlanta with Bill Belichick. Who knows? It could be anything. But that's the Twitter. Want to thank... did anybody retweet the last show? Tanae Brown did for sure, out of New Zealand. Really appreciate you. Big time. Okay, I got to read this Mad Martin one thing too here. The Texans are what a good team looks like. They keep piling on the pain and win decisively. I don't see how you can be proud of winning a load of one-score games. Be better and aim much higher. Yeah, that's awesome. Yep. I was saying, absolutely, they really showed up to play and are a legitimate threat for many years. The Vikings last year were absolute frauds, and I fell for it amongst probably many of us. Yeah, by winning a bunch of low-scoring games, or one-score games, where Houston just put on the pain. Yeah, they look really impressive. Thank you for the retweet. Tanae out of New Zealand, really appreciate you. Tanae, obviously a Hall of Famer, just like Mad Martin on this show. Let's get to the page here. The wild card thread. Oh, yeah, there's a few comments. That's good. Let's get going here. Show us a couple of replies. Mark Carlson says, I was hoping the Browns would show up and play. I cheered for the Dolphins, too. Yeah. Yep. Since I can't have both Green Bay and Dallas lose, I'm really happy to see the whipping that is taking place right now. Dallas just getting spanked. I sure did not expect the Packers to make the playoffs or even play so well. This team is playing really well. Yep. It's impressive. Yep, I was saying I hated to see Cleveland get obliterated like that. Very depressing. At least CJ Stroud is a positive light amongst all the ultra wokeness out there. So, yeah, that was me saying that. CJ Stroud, he's a good guy. He really is. I was saying it's amazing how the Packers absolutely owned the Cowboys. I'm forgetting if I picked the Packers to win this game, but I probably blew it. I picked the Cowboys. Stupid. Packers have dominated Dallas ever since the Cowboys knocked them out back in 95. Mark Carlson responds with, I am sure Dallas fans are crying a river tonight. I hope they get 50 pointed. That would make my weekend. And they just about did. It was 48, so close enough. Basically, close enough. So that's pretty much fan interaction, looks like here. So really thank both of you guys, Mad Martin, Mark Carlson. That was awesome. Really appreciate the conversation there. And, I'm sticking with the 49ers pick. We'll see how things turn out. But I do think, that 49ers-Green Bay game is the one. That's the game of destiny here. in the divisional round. I could be way off, and I've been off before, but I've also been right. So we'll see if I'm right this time around. And it'd be nice to hear other people's predictions as well. You're more than welcome to do so. What the heck happened there? That was weird. Yeah, nice block by Hurts. That's what that was. This about sums up the effort on the field tonight by the Eagles. Hurts didn't even block the guy. He just kind of stood there and watched things happen. That's the Eagles. Yep. Yeah, that was the Eagles. Their chemistry is gone, and it's really kind of sad. Disappointing. Tampa Bay celebrating, and off to Detroit they go. They have championship pedigree, and Todd Bowles has done a damn good job, too. So, good for him. Oh, yeah, Todd Bowles' last two playoff wins have come versus the Eagles. Yeah, it's impressive. Todd Bowles, good job. I would say he has job security right now in Tampa. At least at the moment. I mean, why the hell shouldn't he? That was a very impressive season, considering, you know, I mean, they moved on and all that such. It was such a disappointing year last year, and look at them now. They look pretty good. With that said, thank you so much for listening to this show. Sorry if I made it longer than I probably should have, but I don't know. I mean, this was a fun weekend, even though there were some crappy games. There were some good ones, too, and there's a lot of really good stories going into next week, so storylines and such. So really appreciate you listening to the show. Please tell your friends about it. Please put out, put 5-star ratings on Apple or Spotify or whatever it is, whatever app you use that allows you to put a positive rating for the show. Please do if you could. Don't be afraid to call in. Be a voice, audio submission, like Mad Martin has done, Mark Carlson has in the past. Would love to hear from Brent Jacobson again. It's been a long time. Oh, speaking of which, I do believe there was some interaction actually on Facebook via my profile, because that's the only way to get interaction on actual Facebook now, because the stupid page never came back. I might have to recreate the page, which is the dumbest thing ever, but I might have to do it, and what a shame that would be. It's kind of heading that way, because what else can I do? I did have interaction, here it is. I'm going to read them. I think it's only fair. You guys commented, why don't I read it? So Brent, just in case, hopefully he's still listening. He says, go Miami, Buffalo, Detroit, Dallas, Tampa, and Cleveland. Right, Kevin Godspeed? Kevin Godspeed says boo, because of course he wanted the Packers to win. And I did too, honestly. I like Dallas even less. I noticed you didn't want the Chiefs to win. Yeah, neither did I. Bleep the Chiefs. But I think he likes the Chiefs too, Kevin. So they're kind of going back and forth. Leland says Detroit. And it's like, yeah. Brent said, I wouldn't mind seeing them win. So, I'll just have fun with all you. So, is that everything? I think that is everything. But, yeah, it was a fun little thing. Unfortunately, it died quickly, unfortunately. But I really appreciate the comment, though. And it's nice to hear the name Brent Jacobson again. It really is. For that alone, you get a bronze star. And Leland as well. Leland, I miss you, man. I really miss Leland. Kevin Godspeed's a Packer fan. I have nothing against him. He's a cool guy. He is. Shout out to Kevin Godspeed there. I wouldn't mind him interacting with this show, honestly. Why not? Have a little Packer Viking conversation. Leland, I miss you from Iowa. Oh, I think he got in the Hall of Fame, didn't he, last year? Oh, man, I miss you, Leland. All because of the stupid Facebook page. So in case you're listening, Leland, yeah, that's what's happening. If you have been listening, you probably know, because I've probably repeated it 50 times already. So, again, maybe get on Instagram, or I'll try to post them on here, too. It's probably the only way to do it, to get some interaction. Otherwise, recreate the Facebook page from scratch, which is kind of sad. But, that's just kind of how that's going to have to go. With that said, have a nice week. It's happy MLK Day, even though it's super late now. By the time you're listening, this is probably over, but still, just acknowledging it at the very least, acknowledging the day and acknowledging the man. So, with that said, have yourself a wonderful week, and we'll be back for Division Round Review and Championship Sunday Preview.